Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. Bechoras Memhei. We begin at the Mishnah on Mem Dalet Amud Beis on the very last line, continuing on the topic that we started a couple of days ago. Kehanim, who wish to serve in Beis HaMikdash, if they present defects and abnormalities, that renders them unfit to do service. Some are min ha-Torah, some are min rabbanon. So here in the upcoming Mishnah, we have another list of foot, leg-related abnormalities which disqualify the kohen from doing avodah min ha-Torah. Here goes. Makish bikarsulov. The kohen is bow-legged. So his karsulim, his calves, his shins, bank into each other. His knees are angling out, but his karsulim bump into each other. Or ubar kavoisov. Suppose it's just the opposite. So his feet are out, but his knees are knocking into each other as he's walking. Next to Amud. Ubal hapika. He has this growth, this bulge coming out of his large toe. Va'ikel. What's that? Ezeo ikel. Kol shumake parsoisav. So in this case, as he places his feet alongside each other, his knees are far apart. They don't touch. Ve'en ar kerboisav noikshois ulazu. So his legs are bent outward, in which case, when the bottoms come together, the knees should as well, and they don't. Now back to the bala pika. What is that? Pika yoitza migudole. He has this growth, this bulge, growing out of his large toe. Now, akevoi yoitza lachir. Suppose his heel juts out from behind. Basically, instead of his leg being positioned towards the back of his foot, in which case is a small jut for the heel area. In this case, his leg is positioned more towards the middle of his foot, leaving a large section behind it, which is unusual. So he has a large heel, akeva yoytze l'achirav. Another item is Parsoisov or Parsosai Rochava, whether it's plural or singular, either way, Parsoisov Rochava is Kshal Avas. His foot is flat and spread wide like the foot of a duck. Something unusual. Or Erzboisov, his fingers or his toes, Murkava is Walzu, instead of lying neatly side by side, they're sort of riding, overlapping over each other, oiklutois, or suppose they're joined instead of separated, entities are joined together, glued together, how much? Lamalo adaperek. So if they're only joined from the, let's say, from the hand, right, till the middle joint, and then it separates, that's okay, kosher. They're distinct enough and it's okay. But if it goes past that point, lamata adaperek, if it's joined past that point, now v'chatach, turned around and he surgically separated them, kosher, okay, he's back on track. Suppose he has an extra finger or toe, hoisa, ba or boy, yeseres, he has an extra finger, v'chatach, and he amputated it. Do we just, you know, delete it? Well, it depends how significant that finger was. Im yesh ba etzem, if it was with a bone inside, then it has its own entity. So now that he removed it, it's just as bad. He's puzzled because Rashi says it was an aver, had the status of a limb. And if you remove the limb, he's a mechusar aver. He's missing. He's a balmum. So you didn't help much by removing it. Vimla, but otherwise, if it had no bone inside, that's just a flap of skin, kosher, it's okay. What if he has, instead of 20 in total, 10 fingers and 10 toes, he has 24. 6 on each side. Yoser b'yodov, b'raglov, he has extra in his hands and his feet, sheish v'sheish, esen b'ar, b'six and six, v'tola 24. Machlaikit, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, he said it's okay, v'chachamim paisle. And finally, ha'shelet b'shtei yodov. So we know that a lefty is puzzle. What about ambidextrin? He's equally functioning on both sides, right and left. Rebbe Poisel, Rebbe says it's possible. The Gemara will explain. You know why? Because we deem it as though his right side got weakened, developed a weakness. And that's why it's equal to the left. They say just the opposite. It's the left that's catching up to the right. There's nothing wrong with the right. Tanarabana. So in the Mishnah, we discussed various abnormalities found in the foot leg area, which are considered a mum. As we're going to see, it's based on the pasuk, which speaks about a mum in the leg. Tanarabana, shever egg, a broken foot. Now it sounds like that's the only possible mum, a broken leg. Only a shever egg, perhaps only if it's broken. What if there's some sort of unusual feature in that area? I mean, in the rabbis, what about including hakishon? Okay, the bow-legged. Va'ikel, right, which was the fellow who couldn't join his knees together. Akilban, he has this growth coming out of his toe. Tamalaymar, oi, the word oi covers all these conditions as well. Oi shevarog, tana, we learned in a braisa. Balapikin, that's one mum. Vashufna, what does that mean? Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yechon, balapikin is a fellow sheesh like sosois harbe. He has an oversized, some say oversized ankle. The shufna means shein like sosois kalik, he has no ankle at all. These are considered mumen. The Mishnah spoke about a pika yoytze mikudaloi v'akeva yoytze lachorov. Amar b'lazer, when we say the heel juts out from the back, it's because shoyke yoytze b'emtze ragli, because his shoyke, his shin, his leg, is positioned in the middle of his foot, which results in a large heel. The Mishnah speaks of a parsoyso, rochaveis kishalavos. His feet resemble those of a duck. To what extent? Amar ha-papa doesn't need to be all the way. Even if it's partially resembling, it's also considered amom. Leitema don't suggest. The trifo leistika, it has to be, you know, spread and round and, right, spread and wide. Vilay Siddiq, and also, without any separations, which is exactly like a duck, don't think it needs to go that far to be a mum. Ella, kivon de trefa. Once it's, you know, spread and wide, that in itself is enough. Avag of the stick, even though the toes are separated, it's a mum. Okay, so now we move on to hand-related issues, finger-related issues. Shever yod. The pasuk refers specifically to one condition, a broken hand. Enli ela shever yod, perhaps only broken, is an issue. But if you have the itzbois merkavos, what if his fingers are riding over each other, eklutos, or joined together? Lamal ben aperek v'chatochan. If they're only joined up until that middle joint, and he separated them. Now it sounds from the right, so that we're about to say that it's puzzle, that it's on the list of blemishes. Ask the Gemara, we cut it off right away. What do you mean? V'armas kasha, just told me in the Mishnah that if he separates them, it's okay. Ela v'loy chatoch minayin. The Rice is talking, well, he did not separate them. How do we know it's a mom? Tamaloy mar oi. The extra oi, shever yad, covers these examples as well. What if there's an extra finger, an extra toe? Hoise ba yiseres v'chatocha. Well, it depends if it had a bone, right? Im yesh ba'etzem, posim lav kasha. Amar rabba, babrachan rabbi yichanan. When do we consider this extra finger as an extra limb, which if removed, renders him a balmum? Amar Rabbi Rechon Rabbi Yechonah Vushi Nisperes, provided on condition she Nisperes, it's counted al gav hayad, with the rest of the fingers on his hand. So basically it's aligned with the rest of the fingers. So then, with a bone, we consider it like another finger, and if removed, it's a problem. Now we have a similar discussion regarding Tumah. So we shift to the halachas of Tumah, where we know that a lifeless person conveys Tumah by way of touching him, carrying him, even in oil, anything under the same roof. But suppose it's only part of a mace, then it depends. If it's a full aver, classified as a full limb, then it's metame b'oil as well, right? But if it's not, if it doesn't have the elements of an aver, then it doesn't give off tumah b'oil. So now let's analyze this extra finger. If it's of a mace, is it considered an aver? To be metame b'oil as well. Turn it up when it comes to Bryce. You say Rosh Yesh Ba'etzim, this extra finger that has a bone. Ve'imutz apart, even without a nail, it is considered a full limb regarding matters of tumah, and therefore it's metame b'maga, conveys tumah through direct contact, b'masa through carrying, u'metame b'oil and b'oil as well. V'oil leminyan. Esrim, may of Esrim v'chamisha. And there's halacha, another halacha, that bone material of a mace doesn't have, let's say, doesn't have flesh, just bones. So a bone has its own rules. It could be metame b'maga and b'masa, but b'oil, it's only going to be metame if it comprises the majority, structure of the mace, or numeric majority, as we're going to see soon. So, persons comprised of 248 sections, which makes 125 as the rive. So this extra finger, let's say it doesn't have buster, it's not going to be a tummy as an aver now, right? Only by virtue of its bone element, so you can count it into the 125. Even though it's not a standard feature on a standard person, who typically doesn't have extra fingers. Nevertheless, it's considered a bone like any other, and it's counted into the 125. Okay, but first let's go back to the aver aspect. So if it's a full finger with basso, right, it has all the elements of an aver, and a bone as well, then it in itself has the capacity to convey tumah through the oil. V'amar Rabba, bar b'chan, or b'yechanan. Once again, there's a condition to that. It has to appear like a regular finger, it has to be aligned with the rest. Amar Rav Chisda, the following statement, you know who said it? Rabbeinu Hagadol Amar, the great teacher, Rav, he taught it. And he gives him a bracha. V'amakim Hashem, Yeh Bezer should always be on by his side, helping him out. Give him Siyata Dushmayas, give him a nice bracha. Zecha Tzadik Levracha. Okay, what was the halacha that he says? Yiseres, this extra finger, sheish ba'etzim, vein but apart, but as a bone, even without a nail, metame b'maga, u'b'masa, it can impart tumah through touch, through carrying, but not oil. Vein metame b'oil. Amar Rabba, Rechan Rabbi Yechanan, there's no contradiction between this halacha and the halacha mentioned earlier, that it does have the capacity for tumas oil, because he was speaking that it's not in line with the rest of the fingers, and therefore does not have the ability to be considered an aver. Amar Rabba, Rechan Rabbi Yechanan, u'b'she'ena nisperes al gavya. I was speaking that it's not counted amongst the rest, it's not aligned with the rest, and therefore it's not classified as an aver, and therefore there's no tumas oil. Says the Gemara, well, okay, so if it's not an aver, it's just an add-on, that shouldn't have any tumah at all. It's not part of the person, it's not part of... Amar Rabbi Yechanan, how can you split, how can you say, well, it's metame, only maga, masa, not an oil? Hey, asu devrayim. These scholars have now packaged their words, kedivrei nevi'im, as words of prophecy, without explaining, without providing, you know, rational basis for the halacha, which is typically what we do when we teach Torah. Manasseh, how do you explain this? Either way, e-averhu, it's classified as an aver, then go all the way, boil namitatame, let it be matame even through oil, and otherwise, scot-free. If you love aver, if it's not an aver, it's just a sort of an add-on, then it has no class at all, it has no classification, it has no status. It shouldn't be any tumor. Says the Gemara, I'll explain it to you. It's midrabon. Amar Rafunu bit Barmanev Mashmid Rabacha Brei Davika. Mishum etzem keseur nogupo. In a minute we'll get to the Rabbanon. First, another first teretz. He says, yeah, it's not an aver, but even a small bone chip the size of a barley is matami. It has limited tumma. It's not all encompassing. It's not ba'il, but it's maga and masa. So this extra finger, even though it's not classified as an aver, but it's still considered for tumas maga and masa, such as just like any other bone. Rav Papa Amar, it's midrabban. It's a gzera concern. Shein and asperis, otun asperis. The non-aligned finger on account of the yes-aligned finger. Because it's going to come to be matara that as well, so we apply a tumah to this one too. But since it's midrabbanan, we limit the scope of the tumah. Yachi she'enon nisperes. If it's tami midrabbanan, so even if it's not aligned with the rest, boil nam tatami, give it full power of tumah, even oil. No. Avdurabbanan hakir rabbanan established a distinguishing sign to highlight that it's only midrabbanan. Kiyachi, so that people will not mistakenly perceive it as metame min atur, the loylisr fu alayah, people should not burn on account of contact with this aver, truma, which touches it, or kadashim. We don't want that to happen. It's only midrabban, you can't burn these things. So we limited the scope of the tumma in order to identify it as a tumma midrabban. Okay, so bottom line is, the extra finger has full aver status if A, it's covering a bone, and B, it's aligned with the rest of the fingers, and this pertains to the mum of the kain. So if it's removed, he's now missing a limb, he's puzzled, and likewise, mitami b'magu masa ba'il, such as any other aver. Not awesome. Okay, on the topic of the bones of the mace being mitami, so it's just plain bone, in which case, if it's a small bone chip, it's mitami b'magu b'masa, but not ba'il. In order for it to be metame ba'oil, it has to go to the next level. Not also we have a Mishnah, which describes the parameters of that. Roi binyan, if it comprises the majority of the binyan of the skeleton, so it could have a couple of large bones to comprise the majority of the structure. Roi binyan, or it's the numeric majority, like we said before, 125 out of 248, shel meis, afal b'she'en bo'i roi ba, even though it's not comprised of a large quantity in terms of, you know, like a roiv of a kav, which is typically the shear that's metame b'oil. So even if it's, you know, a small baby or something, tmein, it's metame because of its significance. Tan Rabbanan. So for more detail on this, Tan Rabbanan, ezo roiv binyanai, what's considered the majority of his, of the skeleton? Shnei shakayim, v'yorech echad, two shins and a hip. Because that's typically the majority of the, you know, gaiva of the height of the, you know, skeletal structure on a large person, you know, a standard sized person. What's considered the numeric majority? How many bones? Meya, Esra, Mechamisha, 125. I'm related Tana. So this Tano gave us the number 125. He's teaching us math. I mean, we all know. Person is 248, so majority is 125. Why bother telling us numbers? Tana Minyana, the number. Aslashmin has come to teach us the number. Kamashman, the point is no. What he's teaching us is that this magic number 125 applies in all circumstances. Even if a person should have, theoretically, an extra 50 bones, or a person who has less than standard, 125 remains the magic number. Because that's the roiv in a standard, you know, average person. Kamash Malan Kadisani is coming to teach us as per the following price. Chaser, a fellow is missing. Shein Bayala Masayim, he only has 200. Or in the reverse. Vidyasar, he has more than average. Sheish by Masayim Meshmoin Becha has 281. And Rashi explains how this fellow is structured. So he has less or more than the norm. Kulan Eilen Laminet Meves Mechamish. So all these, even the extra ones, that are not typically found on a person, they can be counted into the 125. Why? And basically, he doesn't need to have more than 125. Right? So it's 2 points. You can count them in, and he just needs a total of 125 as per the standard person. We don't look at this personal, this person's personal situation. Why? Zil basarubadinchi, you follow the majority the way it is out there. 248 is considered the standard, which makes 125 the right. Amar Ravidamar Shmuel. In fact, it was a story of Talmid HaChacham trying to dissect and figure out where the to find the full 248. Ma'aseh b'talmid of Rabbi Shmuel, the story with the students of Rabbi Shmuel, Shalku Zayin Achas, they boiled this immoral woman, Shin Schaivas Shreifel Melech, who was killed by the king after they killed her by burning a Shreifa. And they analyzed all the different Evarim. Ubatku, Umotzu b'masayim ha'chamishim ha'shnayim, they found more than 248, they found 252. They came back to Rabbi Shmuel in wonderment, how did we get too many? Amar Lam, he says, oh, Shama B'Isha Badatkim was an Isha that you checked, because she has more than 248, she has 252. She La Kosov Shnei Tzirim. Hashem added, the Pasuk adds more than 242 to Tzirim, to hinges, and two Shnei Dlosses, two doors at the womb area. In fact, we have a Braisa, which corroborates this. Tanya, Rav Lezo Emer, Kishem Shiesh, just like we find hinges on a door of a home. Kashem shetzirim lebayis kach tzirim leisha, likewise by a woman. Shenemar, as we have by Eli Yakoin's daughter-in-law, vatichra vatel kinefchut letzireha. So it's describing the birth and tzireha. The hinges are related to the experience. Rabbi Shua Eimer. Likewise, we have doorways. Kashem shed losses labais, just like a home has doors. Kach losses leisha, likewise a woman shenema kilo saga dalte bisni, dalte bitni, we find doors related to a woman. Kiva oimer, there's another item as well. Kashem shem avteach labais, just like there's a avteach, a key to the home. Kach avteach leisha, likewise by a woman shenema, riftach as rachma. So there's a concept of a yiftach, of a avteach, of a door, of a key, of a lock, related to a woman. So really, we just added an extra limb. The Rebbe Kiva, according to Rebbe Kiva's assertion, she has mafteich as well. Kasha, so the problem is, the Talmid of Rabbi Shmuel, they only found 252, it should be 253. What happened to the mafteich? Duma either the Zutra, perhaps because of its smallness and size, it muchi mitmach, it got dissolved during her boiling. Amara. You should know that these extra five by the women don't have the ability to give off tumah through an oil, despite them being classified as an aver. Why? Because it's not found amongst men. Shenemar, because regarding tumas oil, the pasuk says zoyis haTorah, Adam ki yamas ba'oil. And we learn davar hashav l'chol Adam, it has to be an aver which is equally found by all, by men as well. Amar li Abaye, v'beish leka leka. So you mean this hinge-shaped, entity is not found by a man? Oksiv, we have a pasuk by Yeshaya. Tzir machozuni, Shanovi is relating to himself. He was overwhelmed by the hardship experienced by the Yidden. Tzir machozuni kitzir yaleda, being gripped like a woman giving birth. Tzirim. So a man has tzirim as well? Answer, tzirim basar. They're just made of skin and flesh without bones, in which case they don't count. Oksiv, another pasuk. By Daniel, Adoini, Bamaro, Nefko tzirai, my tzirim were overturned. Apparently, a man has tirim as well, a chanami as well, tirim basa, just flesh. Chanami stavra, I'll prove to you as such that it's not really considered an aver. Dilate machid, otherwise, how are you going to reconcile the number 248? Certainly not by a woman. Masayim baba mishmoina, which we have in the Mishnah in Ahalois, who does it apply to? Heich mishkachla, who does it apply to? Loi b'ish lo b'isha, not a man or a woman, it can't be. Apparently, although the woman has the extra, but the man does not. We turn to Amelis. The answer be other verb. Okay, a fellow is exhibiting 24 in total, right? 12 fingers and 12 toes. Rabbi says, that's okay. Chachamim say pasuk. Rabbi Yitzchak, what's the machlek is based on? Ushnei mikrei chadash, they're both based on the same pasuk, describing the formation of Goliath, who had 26. Matiyot melchama, uksiv ayish madain. There was this huge person. Etz ba yoda v'etz ba raglav, shesh v'shesh. So he had a total of 24 fingers. Marasov ebgnusei mishtoi. Chachamim understand that the pasuk is shaming him. Something unusual. Defective. All those extra fingers. Umarasov ebishvacha mishtoi. Rabita says no. The pasuk is actually being impressed, so to speak, in his with his appearance, exhibiting his, you know, describing his strength and his being, you know, an impressive-looking fellow. So actually, it's not a mum, and therefore it's okay. It's kosher. It found on a coin. Amar Rabba. Once we're on that pasuk, let's analyze it further. We seem to find a repetition in that pasuk. Mali dechsiv sheish v'sheish esim b'arba mispar. Why does the Torah have to sort of repeat itself? 6, 6, 24, mispar. It could have just said, you know, 6, 6, then we know. It's a total of 24. It's richi. All those expressions are coming to clarify the situation. Because ikaz rachmona sheish v'sheish. If the Torah only says 6 and 6, I would say, okay, one hand had six and one foot, but it wasn't matching all around. I would say, shisti day, shisti kari, six on a hand, six on a foot. Comes the pasuk, kasav esrim ba'arba, for a total of 24, to tell you, no, six all around, for 24 total. Because of esrim ba'arba, on the other hand, if the pasuk would suffice by saying the total 24, I wouldn't know that it's evenly distributed. Havamina, I would say chamesh mihagisa v'sheva mihagisa, five on this and seven on the other side for a total of 24. Kasav sheish v'sheish. Hence, sheish v'sheish tells you that it was even all around. And the word misper benisperes al-gavayat to tell you that the extras were aligned with the fingers alongside. Tanya, Amar Abiyuda, Maas abadam echad. Here comes an incident with this individual. Shabbat mir retarfen. He pushes a retarfen with 26. Sorry, with 24, Yosef, the other rag, the extra fingers, extra toes, sheish v'sheish, six on each side, a total of esrim b'arba. Amalai, so he says to him, Kamoyscha yirbu b'Yisrael, there should be many like you amongst the Jewish nation. So this perhaps provides backup to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that in fact it was something praiseworthy. It chose, you know, extra power, extra. Amalai Rabbi Yehuda responds to Rabbi Yehuda, no, Misham Raya, how could you prove anything from there? You bring a Raya? Kach Amrle, actually, it's the opposite. He told him, Kamoyscha yismatu mamzirei unisini miyisrael. Perhaps in hinting fashion, perhaps, you know, it sounded like he was praising him, but really his message was, if only the mamzerim and the nesinim, members of our nation, who are unfit to you know, intermarry with the community, all these disqualified individuals, perhaps, if they would only exhibit these unusual signs, unusual extra fingers, this would be a sign to keep away from them, and nobody will mistakenly marry with them. So if anything, it's an inferiority, something which is not typical, and considered a deficiency and a defect. Okay, Asher l'bishtei yadav, so you have this fellow who has equal strength on both sides, both hands, tanra bottom, iter, a lefty, bein biyad, whether it's on the hands, so his left is dominant, bein beregel, interestingly, you know, your right foot is meant to be stronger than your left foot, in fact. You know when you see it? When you get to a door, and door opens, right? So which one leads the way? Typically, it's the right. So righty, in his foot, steps right side in first, but a fellow who's a lefty uses his left foot first. So whether it's lefty in his hands, bein beregel, he's considered puzzle for doing the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. And Rashi explains the reason for this is because by the hand, it says in a pasuk that a kohen has to use his right hand, which is the dominant one, and by the regal, Rashi says, Lama the Shoris, Kishar Amidis, Dikarm Bimin, he meant to stand, you know, the way typically people stand, which is with the right foot dominating. So he has to have a proper right hand, a proper right foot. But let's say, Hashel B'Shte Yoda, he has equal power on both. Rabbi Paisel, no, oh good, Chachamim, okay, Machshir, why? Marsov, Rabbi holds, it's a deficiency, sign of weakness in his right hand. Kichush usa, weakness, Aschla has developed Bimin in his right hand. That's why his right isn't stronger than the left. Umar Savacham go the other way. It's the opposite. Bar Yusa, strength, power, Aschla Bismal has developed on his left. So his left is catching up to the right. So which way do you look at it? Deficiency in the right or added strength to the left? Continues the Mishnah, Kushi, a very dark-skinned kohen, v'gichar, very light-skinned, v'lavkan, reddish-skinned, v'kipeach, very long and thin, disproportionate, v'ananas, super short, v'chirish, deaf-mute, v'shoite, deranged, v'shikar, drunk, u'bal in the goyim, tohirim, exhibits these white spots, which are, although not tame, but nevertheless, unsightly, psulim b'adam, all these conditions disqualify a kohen, but they're not considered a mum with respect to behema, uksherim, if they're found with behema. Rav Shimon Leomer, but you should know a shaita, a deranged animal, apparently there's such a thing, shaita mina behema, eina mina mukhar, it's not your best pick, and should be avoided. Rav Lazar Leomer, apala dadulan. Likewise, those with hanging flaps of skin, psulim ba'adam, by a person that renders him unfit, but by behema it's acceptable. Kshem rebehema. What is a kushi? Uchma, very dark skin, black. Gichar, chivara, white. Lavka means sumka, red. Eini, is that so? That lavka means red? Vaho, we had a story out of the Omar Lahu. This merchant was calling out to sell his sheep, man boy lav. Kiyane, who'd like to buy the lav kiyane? This type of, and it turned out to be what color? Rishtaka chivar was white, not red. Sorry, it was white. And you're telling me it's red? Ella, rather, we have to switch around the translation. Kushi means ukma, black. Gicha means sumka, red. And, Kadam Inshi has people relate to a sunka, to a reddish person, as a gichya, right? And the lavkan means very light skin, chivara. As per that story with the yeshi, right? As a fellow who was calling out, Mambay lavkan, who'd like to buy lavkan, Vishal chivara, turned out to be kipeach. What does that mean? Tanu Rav Zvid, gavoya, super tall and imbalanced in terms of his, body, proportion. Eini, is that so? But Tanu Rav Zvid, so first the Gemara figures it's just super tall. And that we have Akasha. What's wrong with being tall? Ain't it? Vatani Rabbi Avo. Tallness is a subject of praise. In fact, Hashem relates to tall as something positive. Rabbi Avo. Vatani Rabbi Avo. Menai Shagadosh Baruch Hu Mishtabeach Bal Yikomei. Where do we find that Hashem relates to tall people in a very positive, praiseworthy manner? Shenemar. We find in the pasuk that Hashem is telling us, look what I took care of the Amorim, the tall Amorim, tall, impressive Amorim, Apparently, it's something of a positive nature. Shnam avonich eshmat esamayim bnehem. I destroyed their mayoris. Ashakid goyva arozim goyve, tall like the cedars. Apparently, tallness denotes strength. It's an advantage, not the opposite. Omra papa baricha shmita sanyu. Sani means it's considered inferior if it's aricha, if it's tall, and shmita, sort of lanky and not really supporting itself, very, very super tall and just, you know, falling over. Omer Rish Lakish. Speaking about tallness, Gavoya, a fellow who is tall, Laisa Gavoyas, should take care not to marry a woman who likewise is tall. Why? Shema Yetzimen Torah, they might bear a child who's as tall as a mast. Right? Tall plus tall equals super tall. And likewise, Nanas, exceptionally short person, should be careful. Laisa Nanasa shouldn't marry a woman with a similar configuration because they might bear a child who's super short. Shema Yetzimen Mehem Etzboy, a child is like a finger, really dwarfed. Love and Lisa Lavana, white should marry. White should meet some men, boyet might turn up with a super white child. And likewise, dark skinned. Shachar, extra dark person. Lisa Shachar should marry a woman the same. Shem meet some men tafiach, which might produce a really dark skinned child. Cheresh vashete vashikar. So we have shikar listed amongst our unfit kayhanim. And the question is, you know, our Mishnah relates to conditions which are not technically, you know, full-scale blemishes. They're just based on level 2 that we discussed the other day, which is Einoy Shave Bezara Shel Arein. He's unmatching to the rest of the Kehanim. He's abnormally looking. But a Shikar is much more than that. A fellow is drunk. He does the Avoida. It becomes possible. Shikar Machil is Machal. This qualifies the Avoida. Why is it listed in the Mishnah, which speaks about lower level issues? Bahadi Mumi, it should be listed amongst the full scale blemishes, the Mechili Avoida, that if they perceive the Avoida disqualifies them, by the way, the Mishnah should be counted there. The answer is, he's not truly drunk. Bishar Dvarma Mishakram, it's not wine drunk. He's just, you know, intoxicated by way of other materials, other alcohol materials or fermented materials, all types of other variations of drunkenness which affect his presence of mind, so he's not really a shikar discussed in the Torah. That's only by wine. But otherwise, he's not mechal le'avoda. Nevertheless, he should refrain from doing service. He's not fit at that point. And this assertion that a shikar by way of other causes is not mechal le'avoda, that's unlike Rabbi Yehuda, who says that he is a sanya. Rabbi Yehuda holds any sort of lightheaded, you know, shikar, any sort of cause, is mechal l'avoda, not just limited to wine. The sanya achal dvela ki'ilis, a fellow who ate dried fig from a town called Ki'ilo, which was very sugary and intoxicating, like wine. V'shasa chalav, he drank milk or dvash or some sort of honey mead, which gets like fermented. V'nichas l'migdash, enters the migdash in that dizzied state. Chayev, he's chayev malchus. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, but the Chachamim disagree, and likewise our Mishnah disagrees that the true shikar of the Torah is exclusive to wine, but otherwise, although you should not be doing the Avoda, but it's not Mechala. Continue the Mishnah. So up until now we had the impression that the standards that apply to a Kohen are way broader than the standards that apply to a Behemah. We have the class called We have the third level called Marisa Ayin. He's unfit due to unsightly appearance. So generally, the Adam has greater range than the Behemah. But listen to this. We have examples of Psulim that apply only to Behemah, not to Adam. Eluk, Sherim, Ba'adam. Psulim, Ba'Behemah. We have situations which interfere by the Behemah, but not by the Kohen. Oysev es Benoy, father and son. Animals cannot be Shechted on the same day. But a father and son Kayin can serve on the same day, no issue there. Treifa, an animal which is a treifa, is possible, but a Kayin, loyaleinu, a treifa, keep on going until And then it's once it. An animal born by cesarean is unfit, but a kohen is. Interacted with a person improperly by him, it's possible, but by the kohen, it doesn't disqualify him. Behem is Adam who killed. Behem is possible, by Adam is not. If a kohen is involved with a woman, improperly he's married to a divorcee, which he shouldn't, possible, that renders him unfit. Until he separates, he makes this neder that she's out of bounds, in which case he can go back to the avodah. Likewise, the fellows on the chevra kadisha, he's possible from avodah, until he commits to abstain to get himself a new job. Says the Gemara. First example of possible by the behemah and kosher by the adam is. What does that mean? Elaim Aaron Abana, we're speaking about father and son. So by animals, you can't shecht them on the same day. But Kayhanim is okay. Serve father and son together. So correspondingly by the animal, say it's Taisha Benoi, the father, goat, and the offspring. Minoig. Why are they subject to Oisiv Es Benoi? It only pertains to mother and offspring, not the father and offspring. But Tanya, Oisiv Es Benoi Noig B'Nekev, it only pertains to a female. Noig B'Schar doesn't pertain to the father. Elo, to Yashub B'Nah. Rather, we're speaking about the mother goat and her son, which cannot be processed on the same day. Correspondingly, a mother Kohen and a son, what are they doing in the Beis HaMikdash? Mother doesn't work in the Beis HaMikdash. So here as well, Kohen Es B'Nah, the woman and her son are serving in the Mikdash. Kohen Es B'Savaydi, since when there's a woman serving in the Mikdash? Yeah, we're speaking about the father and son kind. Correspondingly, over there by the animals, Taisha Benoi, the father or animal and his son. And they are subject to Oisiv Es Benoi in accordance with Hananya, who says that Oisiv Es Benoi applies to the father as well. Amri Ma Rabban Esushal, explain Mishmei Rabbi Yisrael Rabban. Ada Amri, we're going from here. Hananya, it reflects the opinion of Hananya, the Sanya. Oisiv Es Benoi applies noig b'nekevos only by the mother animal. Ve noig b'schar, not by the father animal. Chalan yomer, it applies on both noig b'schar b'nekevos. Next, v'noisi nashim b'avera. He's married to a divorcee. Tana, the Bryce explains the steps in restoring his status. Noi derva ived yoyedu megarish. First, he makes the neder, making her off limits and go back to the avoda. Even before he divorces, he comes off, and when he gets a chance to do it, he gets an appointment by the bezin and. He divorces. Actually, the Reim says it's got to be the first matter of business without tarrying. Okay, but in any case, the nether itself does the job. The question is, Aleichosh, we should be concerned that he may nullify the nether. Dilma Ozel Gabichah, he might go to the Rav, Visharali, and he'll nullify the nether. Because Savar Tzarech Lafar to the nether, Tana holds it. He has to go and specify. Itemize the nether. It's this and this that I vowed, in which case the Chacham will know better than nullifying it. That's if you hold that he has to specify. El Mandomar ain't so far. If you hold that you don't have to specify the nether, just go to the Chacham and say, listen, I made a nether, I'd like to. Michael Memar, how are you going to explain that? What good is making a nether if you can just nullify? The answer is the Madrina Liberabim. We have him express that nether in public, which doesn't allow for nullification. Really? Hanicha, that's good. Lamad Amar coined to the opinion that nether should have been rabbi lafar. That type of nether cannot be nullified. Lamad Amar coined to the opinion that it could be ishla lafar, you could nullify even a publicly declared nether. Michael Lemmer, then we're back to square one. Madrina lay al das rab. Into the next amit. There's one thing called Birab, in the presence of the public. And then there's something called Adas Rabbi, according to the understanding of the public. And that you can't tinker with. Because it's not in your hands. It's not based on your understanding. They are sort of, it's under their auspices. It's in their hands. The Omar Meimah, as Meimah teaches, Hilchasa, the halacha is, Afilu man the Omar, Neder, Shuda, Birab, Mish Lafar, even if you hold that. A nether done in public can be undone, but al das harabim, no, ain lafar, that cannot be undone. Okay, so that's how we ensure that it stays. Continues the Gemara with one more twist. Vahani mili, when do we say that the nether adasram cannot be undone? Dvar rishus. If they're trying to undo it just for a non-mitzvah reason, aval dvar mitzvah, there's a mitzvah involved. If it's for the sake of a good deed, even this type of nether can be undone yesh la'afara. As per the following story, there was this teacher, this Malamed, who would teach the children Torah, and he was a bit rough on the edges. Adre Rav Acha, so Rav Acha imposed a nether on him. They should never be involved in teaching kids. You have no business. You're a violent fellow. Find yourself another profession. To go pasha binuki, be violent with the kids. But ultimately, they couldn't find a proper replacement who was such an expert teacher. And therefore, Vahadra Ravina restored him to his position. He couldn't find another fellow who was Dayakavase, who would teach perfectly like him. So you see, even to this extent, if it's for the sake of a mitzvah, Rashi says, Pasha Binuki, Malka Oysam, he would strike them, Umesim, they would die. Okay, pretty rough fellow. But you see, the. He knew he taught well, so the Ritva is a different pshat. He says, Ritva back in Makkas, he says not that he was killing people, he was pasha. Actually, he was negligent in terms of his timekeeping. He wasn't conscientious about keeping the times, keeping the schedule. So he was wasn't a very good example, a very good role model for the kids, but ultimately, his expertise in conveying the material was so outstanding that it overrode this weak point that he had, and he was restored to his position. Okay, but Matamal Meisim. Last point is a Kohen who's involved in Meisim. So as soon as he commits, he bows out, it's okay. Without making a nether. Versus the other fellow who married Grush, has to make a nether in order for us to allow him back. Why? Why over there do we need a nether? And over here, just committing is okay. Over here, when it comes to refraining from being metame, it's enough for him to be makabel, to commit, to bow out. As opposed to the married fellow who must make a nether to gain credibility. There, he's drawn by his desires, and therefore, the only way he can restore his credibility is if he makes a nether. Which guarantees that in fact he'll comply, in which case he can be back on the Mizbeach. Okay, so we started with foot / leg related deficiencies, which are considered psulim in Atura. It's all based on the extra word oy sheva regal. We have hand. Finger issues as well, based on oy shever yad, the word oy. We discuss the status of the extra finger. It has a bone, it's considered an aver regarding the kohen having removed. It's mechusar aver regarding the time of the oil. We discuss the total number of avarim, 248, by woman, 252. Confirmed by Tamidei Rabbi Shmuel. Interesting, once heard that Rabelski is atzal. Yeah, he said that he worked hard to study the anatomy and try to figure out how do you get the Ramach Ivarim. He said he got pretty much almost a full to the full count, which is pretty a lot of hard work, pretty impressive. He was able to reach almost the full number by analyzing the various Ivarim in a person as per the account presented by Chazal. Okay, we had the extra, 26 fingered fellow, Machlekas there. We had the ambidextrin. We had the Mishnah discussing other types of abnormalities in terms of skin color, in terms of configuration. We discussed some cases where it would be possible by Behema and Kasher by the Adam. And we discussed how to deal with a fellow who is Nesin Hashem Ba'avira, Umetam Elamais. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabba.